Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana's number one sports station, 1037 The Game. Streaming live on 1037thegame.com and on the 1037 The Game mobile app. It's game day, and we're going behind the glass with the famous CD.
I don't know how to put this, but kind of a big deal.
The new guy, Blaine Viator. Cody Schutz. He's the producers on 103.7 The Game.
Hey, I heard you missed us. We're back.
Welcome, everyone, to the Must Listen To Saturday Morning Sports Talk Show. The producers right here on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and also the free mobile app powered by Visit Avery Island. Trust me, it is great to be with you on this Saturday morning. Only going 30 minutes. That's because, well, we've got LSU basketball right here on Acadiana Sports Station. Will they take on Maryland in the second round of the NCAA tournament? And my goodness, it's going to be a fun one. The round of 32 getting kick-started. We got the Louisiana Open tournament. I'll give you an update on that as well. The Chittimacha Louisiana Open presented by Mistras. We were out there all week. Why not keep it going and give you an updated leaderboard heading into round number 3 of the tournament? Just a whole lot of fun when you look at the Louisiana Open, obviously. You had LSU open up the series against Georgia the right way. It was definitely tremendous to see what we saw from LSU in that performance last night, Thursday as well, while being able to hold on against a good Yale Bulldogs team. We're not going to downplay that. But obviously, the biggest thing that's causing all this is, without a doubt, March Madness. And, of course, we're going to talk about that a lot here inside the 237 Roof Studios. Presented by Lafayette Roofing. And hey, guess what? The best part is no guests. So you can call us up at the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111, 337-706-0111. If you want to talk some LSU basketball or even just some college basketball in general, because I'm going to break down the round of 32 a little more in-depth, matchup by matchup, who I like and who I don't like today and tomorrow, because trust me, there's a lot of intrigue after the first 2 days of the tournament. The 12s are everybody's favorite. The 12s beating the 5s. Virginia survived a 1 versus 16 matchup, ladies and gentlemen. So that's huge for them. Definitely a lot of intrigue heading into the round of 32. But how can we not start off talking about the matchup that's going to start everything off today? And that is Maryland LSU. I like what I've seen from LSU this season, and I think this could be a better matchup for them. So give me the Tigers advancing to the Sweet 16. Hold that Tiger. They're getting there. That being said, I don't think they're going to make it too much further past that game. Now, why am I saying that? Well, because of the fact that I just feel like LSU, without Will Wade, can't get past a team like Michigan State. Michigan State is a damn good team. They've been a good team for years. And more likely than not, at least to me, they're going to wind up losing this one. It's going to be tough when they take on Michigan State in the Sweet 16. If they pull it off, it's a major upset. But then you play Duke. And I don't care if you have Will Wade, if you have Steve Kerr, if you have the Zen Master himself as the head coach, I don't think too many teams are going to be able to beat a Duke team with Zion Williamson playing the way he's playing. I mean, one of the big highlights was, without a doubt, Zion Williamson slipping up in transition, and he's still able to maintain possession and get a layup. That was one of the more athletic things I've ever seen him do. I also give credit to his shoes for not blowing up on him. Definitely some cool stuff with Duke. I'll get to Duke a little bit when I look at the round two matchup they have. But again, Maryland LSU, I like LSU's chances in this one a little bit more than I did it against Duke, largely because of one thing and one thing only, And that's the fact that this is a better matchup for LSU. You're not seeing it be a run of the court kind of game. You're not seeing them with a pace that's pretty up there. If they were playing against the Pelicans, I'd probably give the Pelicans the win here. So because of the fact that they are a team that likes to play pace, likes to play fast. And if you're playing fast against an LSU team, you're going to wind up wearing them down. And that winds up being huge for LSU, for the opposing team. We saw that against Yale, especially late in that ball game. They were getting high. They were going 3-for-2. And that was a big reason why the score showed that, hey, they were definitely extremely competitive in Jacksonville on Thursday night. Looking over at some of the other matchups in the round of 32, we're going to go through all of them. Wofford, Kentucky, too easy. Kentucky gets the win. I'm sorry, Wofford, you got to go. Great game on Thursday, but you know Duke, but Kentucky is a lot better of a team. Sorry about that. And then we move over to Florida, Michigan. Give me the Gators, and I have a reason why. They've been looking really good as of late, and it's weird for me to say that because I feel like Michigan is a team that you can want to pencil again. I believe I have them in my bracket as winning it, but based off of what I've seen from Thursday, the SEC tournament, and so on and so forth, I kind of wind up going with the Florida Gators getting the win here. I think they wind up winning and advancing to the Sweet 16. It's going to be a close ball game, and I consider it a slight upset special. Again, Florida did beat LSU, and Florida definitely is a team that likes pace, so I think that I can wind up giving them the odds over Michigan in this case. Florida State, Murray State. Boy, oh boy, I would love to pick the Racers, but they are going to be erased from existence in the NCAA tournament by the Florida State Seminoles, who have been red hot, 15-2. I was looking at the numbers before the show. 15-2 since January 22nd. They started a win streak against Clemson. The only two losses they have are against Duke and UNC. So, you know, you can take the good with the bad there. It is what it is. But two losses since, like, late January? That is nothing short of impressive. Only two losses, including one in the ACC title game. So I think they're red hot, and they've been playing on a lot higher level than Murray State. I was talking with somebody in the press box last night at the Cajuns game about this, and he said, you know, Murray State is pretty hot as well. I'm like, yeah, but it's definitely a larger level of play. You're playing against bigger opponents, bigger names. I think it's definitely going to wind up looming large for Florida State to get the win here. Baylor Gonzaga, Zags. Baylor, great job, but you know what? You got to go. Minnesota, Michigan State, the Richard Pitino story, great. You got to see him get the win over a team that his daddy used to coach. You about imagine that made Rick Pitino pretty darn happy wherever he is. I think he's overseas in Greece coaching a basketball team. I'm sure he was catching that on the DVR and was happy for his boy. So I got to wind up going with Michigan State. Sparty's going to get the win. Minnesota, great story. But you got to go because, honestly, the Spartans are a damn good team, and I'm looking forward to seeing LSU, Michigan State in the Sweet 16. At least that's what I'm hoping. I would hope upon hope that happens. And we get Thursday, whatever that is. Hopefully it's not a 11 o'clock tip-off because, honestly, I'm getting kind of tired of those 11 o'clock tip-offs. Not going to lie. And then we look over at Villanova-Purdue, and I don't know what it is about the last few years in picking Villanova, but I love them, and I want them to win. I want them to win every single year and get to the Final Four. Honestly, I'm going to pick them to go to the Final Four again this year. I think they have every chance to do so. Villanova, Jay Wright, just know what they're doing. So give me Nova getting the win over Purdue, the Boilermakers. They got to go. Auburn, Kansas. And this is probably the toughest matchup in my mind because I want to go Rock, Chalk, Jayhawk. But Bruce Pearl has been on a mission lately to just show out in a big way. He looks like he's just a man on fire. And it's amazing to see what the man who used to be at the helm of Tennessee has been doing the last couple weeks. You wind up having Pearl's Revenge 1 and 2 over the course of a week, and that was amazing. And then you wind up having him look really, really good in that first-round matchup. So I got to go with Auburn here. I would love to go Kansas, Rock Chalk, Jayhawk all the way, but Auburn just looks a little bit better in terms of tournament play. So give me Auburn to advance to the Sweet 16. Next up, Iowa, Tennessee falls. I really don't feel like I need any more explanation on that. Hawkeyes, I'm sorry. You're fun, but you know what? You're getting Thanos snapped out of existence in the NCAA tournament. You are gone, my friend. And then you got UNC Washington. Mind you, UNC looked like absolute dog meat at one point in that game last night. I got to pick UNC to win here. It's Washington. It's a Pac-12 team. I just can't. I can't put it all my chips on them pulling off the upset. That, and I have UNC as my national champions in my bracket. So, honestly, I got to stick with my guns here and go with Tar Heel. Flair country is going to be running wild whenever it's Duke, UNC in the finals. I'm just saying. Then we got UCF and Duke Blue Devils. Then they wind up winning that one. Zion Williamson, again, looks like a grown-ass man. It looks like a beast. I like what I've seen from him as of late. He's definitely one of my favorite players right now to wind up being the MVP of college basketball. Obviously, the number one pick. That being said, I was listening into the CBS Sports Radio right before we got on the airwaves. And honestly, I was surprised to hear him say Ja Morant, number two pick. I definitely feel like if we had a bigger show, we'd probably be able to pull off a little buying and selling about if Ja Morant's a number two pick. I'd sell on that just because, out of pettiness, I want to see him join the New Orleans Pelicans because he's one hell of a hand. Wrapping things up, a little rapid fire style. Buffalo, Texas Tech. I got to go with Big 12 here, and Texas Tech gets the win. Liberty, Virginia Tech. Liberty, great story, but you got to go now. That is Virginia Tech all the way. Go Hokies. Oklahoma, Virginia. Boomer Sooner. Give me the Sooners. Get in the dub. And then we have Ohio State, Houston. Ohio State pulled off the upset, but Ohio State, you got to go. Houston Cougars, they're advancing to the Sweet 16. And I heard something interesting last night, and I've got to bring that up in the next segment as well, about the team that Houston faced in Georgia State. For those Sun Belt fans, you might want to keep an eye on this storyline over the next 24 to 48 hours, because there could be something coming that makes the Sun Belt a lot more wide open. And then UC Irvine versus Oregon closing things out in your round of 32. I got to go with Oregon here. UC Irvine, the Anteaters, great story once again. I feel like there's a lot of great stories, but I got to go with UC Irvine losing to Oregon. Oregon advances to the Sweet 16 because I like what I saw from Oregon, and they just always seem to be a real contender in the world of sports. They always can wind up being a real legit contender. All right, there we go. There's my round of 32 predictions, game by game. I'll probably wind up recapping before it's all said and done. But I got to take a quick commercial break because I've got a lot of other thoughts to get to. Of course, we had yesterday the Louisiana Open. It was a wild one in the leaderboard standings. So I'll give you an update of what's going on there before the third round kind of gets really kick-started. You get to see some of these guys that are in that leaderboard, in that top 10, and some other notable players, including a former PGA champion. He actually missed the cut. I'll give you those details in just a little bit. But, of course, we got to pay some bills. So why not take a commercial break right now? You're listening to the producers right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
The producers on 103.7 The Game on a Louisiana Saturday morning. Now, back to the other side of the glass.
Let's begin now.
Technically, I'm just on the same side of the glass as always on a Saturday morning right here on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Hey. Fast half hour edition of the show. And I just saw this stat pop up. I got to give credit to Garrett Walvoord at Mr. _ play by play on air for LSU Sports on the SEC Network Plus, Cox Sports TV, everywhere in between. This is a cool stat. He's actually going to be Trey Waters. He is one steal away from getting the single season LSU basketball record, which has been held by Daryl Joe since 1987. And this one seems like it's an uphill climb to be able to do in one game, but if he doesn't, I think it's safe to say LSU could win, and that is setting and being the third player in SEC history in 86 years to come up with 100 steals in a single season, matching something Devon Downey of South Carolina did back in 08 with 103. And then you have Clint McDaniel of Arkansas, 102 back in 95. I like the dude's first name, by the way. Hopefully you have a great Saturday morning. A lot of other things to get to, including the Louisiana Open. The second round wrapped up yesterday. That means the cut line was drawn. And I gave you some details on a notable name that wound up missing out in just a little bit. But this was a wild one at La Triomphe, because it was just amazing to see how things wound up going at the top of the leaderboard. Because at one point that day, I believe it was a five-way tie for first place. It was nuts. But things wound up shaping up a little bit better. And that means one thing only. We just have a tie between Vince Covello and Zinzun Zhang are sharing the lead for first place with at 12 under. Zhang had an eagle on the fifth hole, helped get to this point. In case you didn't remember that name, he actually was runner-up in the 2017 Louisiana Open back when Casey Wittenberg won it for the second time. I get to how he's doing a little bit. But again, Vince Covello, Zinzun Zhang are tied for first place. Definitely impressive. And then a four-way tie for third place between Justin Lauer, who at one point, I believe, Justin Lauer, Greg Yates, Ben Coles, they all led at one point. And then Jamie Arnold wound up sliding in there at 11 under to end his day. That's all your stuff for round two in terms of your top five. And then, of course, you've got a battle for seventh place. It is deadlocked right now between Boo Weekly and Casey Wittenberg at 10 under for seventh place. Definitely pretty solid outing for Boo Weekly on Friday. That was a big reason why he was able to get to that point, because I believe he might have been like a, it was either a, like, he might have been around like minus two, so he definitely wound up improving quite a bit in his game. It was a big reason why he was able to come away with a huge win, and it was definitely great to see him do it. Casey Wittenberg, he wound up just kind of hovering at that point where he was yesterday after round one, so I like what I saw from Casey Wittenberg, day two. They're in that contention right now. All these guys are in there like swimwear, and it's going to be a fun contention. And then Jacob Bergeron, a guy who qualified earlier in the week, he finished day two just making the cut. It was 200 into the day. The projected cut line was two. Wound up dropping down to one, the cut line. And that meant one thing. Mike Weir, amongst those who got cut, definitely a big surprise, I think, for everybody, was Mike Weir under the cut line at even par. Definitely a tough break for him, to say the least, when you look at the Louisiana Open. Meanwhile, you look at some of the big things in college of baseball this weekend. My goodness, Zach Hess, welcome back to relevancy. Because I think a lot of people were not a fan of Zach Hess for weeks upon weeks upon weeks, because of the fact you had Paul Molinari beginning the season say he's our dude, and the dude did not deliver results from Jump Street. And it just did not finish. It did not get anything done. It was a tough break for him, kind of seeing how things just weren't necessarily piling up for him. But honestly, I think every fan should be applauding what we saw from Zach Hess last night. Because if that's what we see every week the rest of the year, all these fans who didn't want Zach Hess to be a starter, I'm like, kindly leave the conversation. Because this is your guy that's going to be the Friday night starter going forward because of that one performance against Georgia on the road. And you wound up having him out-duel one of the best pitchers in the Sun Belt Conference. And that was nothing short of impressive what I saw last night from the young man. Eight strikeouts. He allowed eight hits, but guess what? He did not let that get to him. In fact, Paul Molinari at one point wanted to kind of pull him, sit him down, and end his day early. Zach Hess basically told him, you know, I think it's best you go back to the dugout. And Paul Molinari's like, okay, cool. And he liked the confidence they saw from his starter, and a big reason why he wound up getting a little extra rope. Because honestly, I feel like Any other time, he might have just pulled the rope, pulled the rug from underneath him and wound up ending his day a little bit early. But I like what I saw from LSU last night. Sure, not a whole lot of hits, but honestly, you didn't need him that much. And we're up against one of the best pitchers. We had like a 0.52 ERA, and it ballooned up to a 0.77. So honestly, that's a huge win for the Tigers offense, being able to withstand a pitcher's duel and win in a different way. Because this is a team that showed that they can win by being an offensive powerhouse, by being one of those gorilla ball type teams. Now we see them win in a little bit different way. We get to see them win by doing it the right way and being able to do it any way you can and come away with a win no matter what. That being said, I think they're going to have a challenge today. You have Cole Henry, the freshman, getting the start today. I can't necessarily bank on him going long form, going like more than 5-6 innings. But if he does, that winds up being huge for LSU. I like what I've seen from LSU all season. Hopefully they can wind up continuing it and building the momentum going forward. Definitely going to be something you need to keep an eye on this weekend, Sunday. I would love to see him get the sweep. 2 out of 3, honestly, is the way I think it needs to be. You know, that'd be the best case scenario. I mean, you're 4-0. That's the first time they've been 4-0 in SEC play, I believe, since the late 90s. And that is impressive to be able to pull that off almost 20 years later and start off 4-0. If they start off 6-0, that is huge when it comes to standings. That being said, the Cajuns, they need to kind of get things going up against App State. App State, don't get me wrong, Cajun's offense looked good. It's the fact that there were missed opportunities. Coach Rope talked about it, played it during the two-minute drill. But that's the biggest thing. There were missed opportunities upon missed opportunities. And if you miss out on these kind of opportunities, guess what? You'll lose ball games. I'm not saying leaving ducks in the pond. I'm talking double play opportunities that were missed by like a hair. There was one in the ninth that wound up resulting in the game-winning run that I feel like should have gotten called a double play. But, you know, I'm not right there. I'm literally seeing it from up in the press box. So definitely not exactly the best viewpoint in the world, but it is what it is. And that's about all we got for the producers today. Hopefully you enjoyed it just as much as I did. Bringing it to you, LSU basketball pregame coming up in just a little bit. Of course, we got a little NBC update, and then we bring you to LSU pregame show. Before they take on Maryland, 11-10 tip. Then we got LSU baseball on Sunday. No baseball on Saturday because of the ball game going to be coming up in 30 minutes. Peace out, everybody. Have a great rest of your Saturday.
The show's over.
Oh, yeah. Kick it.